In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Usually in the Gospel reading, we find some teachings of Christ or a miracle of Christ, but the focus of today's Gospel is actually about somebody else, and that's St. John the Baptist. Just to provide a bit of context of this passage that we just read, right before it, St. John the Baptist was imprisoned, and he sent two of his disciples. And he said, sent them to Christ, and he said, go and ask him if he is the one that we've all been waiting for, or is it somebody else? And the reason St. John the Baptist did this was not for his own evidence, but was to direct these two disciples to Christ, that when they were to experience Christ, they would understand that he was the one that they're waiting for. And so those two disciples go off and they find Christ and they ask him, are you the one that we should be waiting for? And our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't really respond to them, but begins to do many miracles and they witness it. And after they witnessed the miracles and they believed, our Lord told them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so the two disciples leave very joyful, running back to St. John the Baptist, telling him, he is the one, he is the one. After they left, our Lord begins to talk about St. John the Baptist. And it wasn't in their presence. So it's not as if he's trying to compliment St. John or anything like that, or so that they would go and tell St. John, oh, he said some good things about you. Our Lord waited till they left, and then began to speak about St. John the Baptist. And our Lord said a great honorary title to St. John the Baptist. He said, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than St. John the Baptist. What an honor from our Lord Jesus Christ to say that there is nobody greater than St. John the Baptist. There is no prophet greater than St. John the Baptist. And this is why when we say the commemoration of the saints in the church, as soon as we finish with St. Mary, we move straight to St. John the Baptist, that there is not risen a greater prophet than St. John the Baptist. But the line after that is of a lot of interest to us. And our Lord Jesus Christ says that he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Who exactly is our Lord talking about? Who is this person that is least in the kingdom of God that is greater than John the Baptist? He just said that St. John the Baptist is the best, is the number one, is the top. But he who is least is greater than the top. Actually, this person who is the least is you and I. St. John the Baptist was the final prophet before our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the final one before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. After our Lord came, he established his kingdom. So he who has entered his kingdom after our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than all the Old Testament prophets, because we have with us something extremely special, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have his teachings, we have his body and blood on the altar, we have things that the Old Testament prophets would have dreamt of, and that's why we are greater than anyone in the Old Testament. You know, when we pray the litany of the gospel, there's a beautiful prayer that says, many prophets and righteous men earnestly desired to see the things you are now seeing, and they could not, and to hear the things you are now hearing, but they could not. But blessed are your eyes, because your eyes see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. That they would have desired to see and hear the things we see. They would have desired to eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they couldn't. And we have all of these things, which makes us so honorary in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the gospel moves, and our Lord Jesus Christ begins to speak about two types of people. He said that St. John the Baptist began to preach, and some of them accepted and some rejected. There was most of the people and the tax collectors and the sinners, they heard the message of St. John the Baptist, which was to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they accepted, they repented, and they were baptized. Whereas others, such as the lawyers and the Pharisees, rejected. And our Lord says, like this little parable that used to be said back in those days. He said, To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, saying, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not weep." This was a common game back in those days, that the kids would be playing around in the marketplace, and it'd be like a role play, that one kid would pretend as if he's in a wedding and begin to play a flute, and then the other kid would respond by dancing. Then they would switch it to be like a funeral, that they would begin to mourn for the person that had died, and then the kids would start to pretend to cry. They would basically respond to whatever the other child was doing. But our Lord said, he used this parable to explain how hardened the hearts of these Jews were, that we played the flute and you didn't dance. You meant to dance when I played the flute. When we mourned, you didn't weep. You meant to weep when we mourn. That's part of the game. Saying to the Jews that John the Baptist came, you didn't like him. I came, you said I'm a drunken. No matter what we do, either way, you're rejecting. And so we have before us today two types of people, two types of hearts. One type of heart accepts, and one type of heart rejects. And I've always asked myself this question, why is it that some people, you would say the same words to them, and one will accept, another will reject? So John the Baptist preached the same thing to all people. All he said was repent. His sermon consisted of one word, repent. Everybody heard it, some accepted, and some rejected. And all throughout history, you find the same situation in the Bible, in the history of the church. There are always some people who will hear and will be moved, and others who will hear and it won't even affect them at all. If you look at, for example, at the story of the young rich man in the Bible, that a young rich man comes to our Lord Jesus Christ and says, "What should I do so I can inherit the kingdom of God?" And our Lord says to him, "Go sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me." And the rich man leaves disappointed, because he had great possessions, didn't want to give them up, and he left. These exact same words were heard by St. Anthony. St. Anthony entered a church and listened to the gospel reading and heard exactly that same line. St. Anthony heard that, went out, sold everything, and went into the inner desert. They both heard the same words. In fact, one heard them from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ directly, the other just heard it in a gospel reading. I was, you know, Amber Zosima, he's here from Egypt, and I was sitting with him, and he was telling me that one of his churches in his diocese is the church that St. Anthony heard that call of "Go, sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me." And he was saying that during the attacks in Egypt, this particular church, the Muslims broke the gate of the church to enter it. And once they reached the door of the church, for some reason, they turned back. And they didn't continue destroying the church. There was nobody there to protect it. But for some reason, that particular church, they turned back from it. And this was the place that St. Anthony heard those words. The point is, why is one moved and one is not? One leaves disappointed and one changes and transforms his life. If you look, for example, at the two thieves on either side of our Lord Jesus Christ, the right-hand thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," and gained salvation. The left-hand thief said, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you come off the cross? One gained salvation, one didn't. One responded, one didn't. One accepted, and one didn't. And this is true for all of us. At times, we're all here maybe listening to a sermon. One may be really moved by the words of the priest or the person giving the talk and make a decision to change their life. Another person may be thinking, "Oh, I wish this person was here to hear these words." Or someone else might be thinking, "I have a woman, it's getting pretty boring, I'm going to move on." Different types of hearts. Sometimes youth come for confession and we say to them, "Would you like me to install on your phone and on your computer some protective software that will help you not go to bad sites?" Some will say, "Yes, please." Others will say, "Nah, not interested." Why is it that one heart always accepts and one heart continuously rejects? When I was in the monastery, my 40 days, I was in St. Bashar Monastery in Egypt. And we went, we snuck out, and we went to another monastery, which is the Suryan Monastery, just to visit. And in the Suryan Monastery, we went to visit the house where the new priests were staying, just to visit them and see who they are and that. And we went to the house where the new priests were staying in the Suryan Monastery. And there was one particular priest who I began to talk to, because he was the only one that could speak English. But he was from Canada. And he was a young youth from Canada. And so I was asking him where he's going to be serving. And he said that he's going to be going to Africa to serve in Africa. And I said, do you have any kids? He said, yeah, I've got two young kids in school, primary school. So I said, how are you going to move your whole family, your wife and your two kids from growing up and living in Canada to Africa? Like, what are the kids going to do? And he says, oh, it's all right, we'll sort it out, you know, no big deal, it should be all right. You know? I go, all right. So I thought to myself, this priest must have had such a strong revelation to convince him to move from a luxurious life in Canada to going to Africa and making his kids go along with the ride and having a tough time there. So I asked him, you know, what happened? How did you know you meant to go to Africa? How did you know this was your calling? He said, oh, you know, they had invited me to serve there, and I wasn't really sure. And then one night I went to the youth meeting. And in the youth meeting, they were singing the hymn, "If you lead me, I will go. If you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I will follow." That one. And he goes, I heard that, and I was completely moved, and I said, I have to go to Africa. If he leads me, I will follow. And I thought to myself, is that it? That's the story? I thought he would have had an apparition or something significant. But it made me think that what a soft heart. That the smallest thing that touches his heart moves him to change his life completely. A hymn that we hear every week in the youth meeting, for him it changed his life. The point is that we're all exposed to the same things. We're all exposed to the same church, the same sermons, the same Bible, the same everything. Some of us are transformed and some of us are not. Some of us have a soft heart and some of us are not. So the question becomes, how can I begin to have that soft heart? How can I begin to have a heart that is responsive to things, that every time anything touches it, it comes to fruition, it changes my life. I don't always leave like the same person. I think the first thing for the person that always has a responsive heart is that person always feels they are in need. They always feel they are in need. And once they feel they are in need, they are ready to take. Once they feel they are in need, they are ready to take. The sinners and the tax collectors that really listened to St. John the Baptist, they knew they were in need. They knew they were sinners. And they were ready, as soon as St. John spoke the message of repentance, they were ready to take it. They were ready to take it. The lawyers, the Pharisees, they were the teachers. They weren't sinning in their own eyes. They didn't need anything. In fact, they didn't only want to take, they wanted to give. Who's this St. John? I'll teach him a lesson myself. When you go to a doctor, for example, when you're sick, and you go to a medical center or see a GP, for example, you know you're sick. You're in need. You're in need for healing. And so when you enter the GP, you say to him, "Doctor, I need healing. I'm sick. These are my symptoms." And the doctor says, "No worries. Take some Panadol and you'll be all right. Pay $100, walk out." But because you felt you were in need, when you went to the doctor, you're ready to take his advice. You're ready to take his medications to heal you. If you enter a doctor's surgery and he says to you, "What's up?" and you go, "Nothing," then why are you here? "I don't know, nothing better to do." "Take this medication." "No, I'm not sick." So when I feel that I'm in need and I feel that I'm sick, I'm ready to take healing. And this is the way we should approach the church. This is the way we should approach God. When every time I come have an encounter with God, I am ready to take from Him. I'm ready to take. I believe that softening our hearts is just a matter of changing our mindset. We come to the church with the mindset that I'm ready to take from our Lord Jesus Christ, not to give Him. Our Lord God is the giver, not the taker. So when I come to Him, I take from Him. There was a priest in Egypt who sang a story that he was in the church one day and he sees this lady, you know the rug that Abuna stands on in the altar? Sometimes they have this like woolen little rug that Abuna stands on in the altar. He sees this lady rolling it up and putting it on her shoulder and walking out of the church. And he goes, "What are you doing? What are you doing with that rug?" She says, "Bechut barakah." She's taking it home as a blessing. And the priest said to her, "If you want a blessing, you give to the church, you don't take from the church." And everyone sort of laughs at this woman and what she did, but I think she had the right idea. And that is, she's coming to the church to take. She had the right idea, except for the stealing part. but her mindset was right. And that mindset is, I'm coming to the church to take something. To take something from the liturgy, to take something from the sermon, to leave transformed. Pope Shenouda has this beautiful talk about prayer. And the whole talk about prayer is how prayer is taking from God and not giving to God. Often we think that when we pray, I'm giving God something. I'm giving Him my words, I'm giving Him something, giving Him my time. But Pope Shenouda says that prayer is not giving to God, it's taking from God. And I'll read to you part of his sermon, which is really, really deep. He says, "Some people think that in praying they are giving to God, giving Him words, giving Him time, giving Him feelings. The truth is, prayer in its depth is a matter of taking from God. He is the giver, not the taker. The one who is successful in prayer is the one who prays and feels he is taking from God. When you pray and feel that you took power from God, then you are successful in your prayers. When you pray and take blessings from God, then you are successful in your prayers. When one prays and takes repentance, he has succeeded in his prayers. When one prays and takes holiness, he has succeeded in his prayers. When one takes a renewed relationship, then he has succeeded in his prayers. God is telling you, 'Come, and I will give you.' The problem is, we leave without taking anything from God. God looks at you and wonders, 'My beloved, why did you leave so quickly without taking? I wanted to give you.' You need to hold on to God and tell Him, 'I'm not going to leave you. I won't leave you until I take from you.'" And I think if we enter with this mindset in prayer, in the liturgy, in service, in listening to any talk, I leave changed, because I'm leaving ready to take something from God. Every day, God gives us an opportunity to take some steps towards Him. Some of us will take them, others of us will harden our hearts. But I'll leave you with a verse from St. Paul, who says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." And glory be to God forever. Amen.